Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Ah. How is everyone tonight? Welcome. Welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Every night at 6, pretty much go until I get tired. I haven't been getting a lot of sleep lately. And I'll get in. Like, I am always on the phone. That's my big problem. The phone is the worst thing in the world for you to be able to get sleep. So I didn't even bring the phone anywhere near my bed. I had it on the dresser, and it would be my luck that when I'd have to get out of bed to actually turn it off, it was on the other side of the room. Any of you guys in Florida? Hold on, forgot to put the chat on. Thank you. Somebody, I got to put that up there. Yeah, looking good. Raymond B, going to be a great show today. Tuds is the man here. I'll put that one up there as well, too. You guys liking the new overlay for my newest sponsor, MyEasyWireless.com? Took me forever, because I'm horrible. Like, you can give me a piece of audio to edit, I'll have it for you pretty quickly. I'm getting better at video as well, too. But, man, it took me forever. But are any of you guys in Florida? Look, let me start off by saying, I get it. It's a good thing. Just like the Amber Alerts. But the Blue Alerts, there's got to be a better way for the Blue Alerts. Because this guy got, like, in trouble and shot the cop up in North Florida near the Panhandle. The guy's from Fort Myers. And they basically just, the whole state, there's no way that scumbag got down to Volusia County in that amount of time. Did I need to get that? And I don't want anybody to come back and be like, oh, Tuttle, you don't support the cops. No, I do. But yeah, that scumbag, he ended up shooting that cop. And everybody, what about all the getter duns? They go to bed early. What about the radio guys? Looking rugged today. I'm working with the lighting. I put this stuff up here. I had to redo it so the banner wasn't covering up this Tuttle Daily Podcast thing. But yeah, not only was this guy shot a cop, he's also a pedophile.
Right now, there is a statewide alert out for a man with ties to Fort Myers. Investigators want to talk to him about the shooting of a deputy.
It happened last night in Taylor County. It's right near Tallahassee. The deputy is in the hospital right now with life-threatening injuries. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement did put out a blue alert for the man named Gregory Ryan Medema. A blue alert.
Man, their green screen is just as bad as mine, because you can see the outline of the back of her shirt. The guy's wearing the darker color. But man, you could definitely, and I'm trying to get my green screen dialed in. I just need to get some better lighting. That's my problem. Yeah, well, not you, Vulture. You were doing other things. He texts me. I'm like, hey, show's gonna be starting. I'm like, okay, cool. I know what you're doing, Vulture. Dude is getting it, getting after it, if you know what I mean. But anyways, yeah, this guy ended up shooting this cop, and everybody in the state of Florida got woke up.
alert goes out anytime a law enforcement officer is killed or hurt and there's still some kind of threat to the public.
Now, according to FDLE, Medema has two known addresses here in Southwest Florida. We went to both places this morning. Fox 4's John Barron is live at one of the houses near Page Field. And John,
holy steroids.
John, you've done some research on Medema and his criminal history. What have you found?
Yeah, FDLE is asking for the community's help in finding Gregory Medema, and they are asking for them to go ahead and make sure that they can see and find him as quickly as possible, but they are warning the community that he is dangerous, so not to make sure that they get too close to him. Now, this is what we know so far about his history. He's a former military, and he was stationed in...
I wonder what branch he was in. This guy, he looks like he's an army. If you guys are in the chat room right now, give me a thumbs up. Give me a liking. Go on social media. Tell your friends, family, loved ones. Not a lot of people. Look, the audio podcast is through the roof right now. This is going to be an endeavor just to build this up like I did the audio podcast. But man, this guy right here, he does look like a pedophile. This guy does not look like somebody that would shoot a cop, but this guy is the reason why everybody got woke up.
Hawaii. While he was there in 2011, he was convicted of having intercourse with a minor and having child pornography. Now he is a registered sex offender at two addresses in Southwest Florida, one of them being in Fort Myers and the other one in Lehigh Acres. Now we went to the Lehigh Acres house this morning and a Lee County deputy told us to leave the area. FDLE says that he is 5'8" and about 165 pounds. He has tattoos on both his left and right arms as well as his left and right hands. They say that he's driving a gold 2000 Chrysler with the license plate number...
Is there anything more trashier than hand tattoos? And I'm sorry, hopefully none of the people that are watching right now have hand tattoos, but Jesus Christ.
Y78T.
Especially knuckle tattoos.
EKU. Now again, FDL is warning everyone to not approach Gregory if you find him, but they are asking you if you find him and you do see him, that you please call law enforcement. For now, live here in Fort Myers, John Barron, Fox 4.
All right, so... That's one of the reasons I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, because I got woke up and I was being the responsible one. Like, I went to bed early. I didn't even bring the phone by me and still woke up. And I'm one of those people. I don't know about you guys. Once I'm asleep and somebody wakes me up, I can't go back to sleep. I did, but I was tossing and turning. I don't know what's wrong with me. I go through bouts of insomnia sometimes. Yeah, yeah, you got me. Here, I'll put that up there. Definitely face tattoos. Yeah, there's nothing. But you know what? Post Malone can pull it off. Post Malone, it might be the only one that can pull that off, without a doubt. But good luck he's already made enough money in his career. I'm going to say if the music thing goes south, but he's never going to have to work again. So you know what? Screw it. Get some face tattoos. I read this story, and I keep thinking maybe this is the reason why I am not sleeping. Been kind of dealing with a little bout of depression. You guys know, like, I'm not self-medicating anymore. I'm not drinking. I'm not on the pills to be able to balance my mood. So, I think this story, because I got it in my head, people, and I don't know why. This is how messed up my brain is. Speaking of brain, there's a story. First ever scan of dying human brain shows astounding results. Now, at first, when I saw it, I was like, nope, not going to read it. Not going to read it, because I was like, I know that I don't want to know. I already got anxiety. I don't want to think about what my brain's going to do when I die. I just want to go to sleep. Not know it. Like I said, you don't remember before you were born. You're not going to remember after you're dead. But scientists say for the first time, the recorded brain activity of a dying person just 15 minutes before he died, and it revealed outstanding results. Wait, where's the story at? Yippee-yo. Oh, it's one. Is it one of those ones I got to click for more? Oh, it's got an ad. What the hell is going on there? Are you? Yeah, it is one of those. Researchers found rhythmic brainwave patterns near the time of death with similarities during dreaming and meditation. The researchers recorded there was an increase in gamma oscillations, which occurs during dreaming and memory retrieval. It's, don't we, we've all heard about that. Oh yeah, your life flashes before your eyes. People say that when they've had a near-death experience. Just before and after the heart stopped working, we saw changes in a specific band of neural oscillations, so-called gamma oscillations, but also in others such as delta, theta, alpha, and beta oscillations, Dr. Zimmer said. The study published in Frontiers in Aging Neuroscience, that's a great magazine, said the brain may remain active and coordinated during and even after the transition to death and may even program to orchestrate the whole ordeal. So this right here, definitely. Okay, remember, like, everybody's asked that question, you know, when they, like, for example, when they cut off William Wallace's head in Braveheart. Everybody says, you know, if you get the guillotine or you get your head cut off and you could actually look at your own body. And I mean, now I think that is because your eyes are in your head. So that means you could actually, what up, Spice Boys Gold, Mike Doorstop? That's a long, wordy name. Your eyes are in your head. So, and your brain is in the same place. So does this mean, like, if you did get your head cut off, that you would see your own body, or you could see people, and if somebody grabbed you by the top of your head by the hair and held you up? No, I didn't see about the trucker convoy. Did not see that. I know about the trucker convoys, but I didn't know that they were already out there. It's a convoy. The study was conducted as an 87-year-old patient developed epilepsy. The doctors were performing EEG to detect the seizures. However, the patient died due to a heart attack. It allowed scientists to record the activity of a dying human brain for the first time ever. So, why haven't they done this? Like, people donate their bodies to science. What if somebody was terminal and you could get them and be like, hey, we'll pay your money? Though generating oscillations involved in memory retrieval, the brain may be the last recall of important life events just before we die, similar to the ones reported near death experiences. Yeah, this is real freaky, man. So does that mean, like, you can hear then? Like, if the brain's there, like, you're dead, you hear everybody talking. Ugh. But the reason I brought this up, because once again, this is how my brain works. When I saw that story, when I was thinking, I was like, dude, I just lost my dad. And I'm like, what was he thinking? Because I wasn't there. My mom wasn't there. Did he think he was alone? And then I started getting in my head even more and was like, well, what did he think of me towards the end? And, you know, like, he always said he was proud of me, but also at the same time, what is your parents gonna say? I mean, if you got an ugly kid, you know you have an ugly kid. But if the ugly kid says, "Hey, Dad, am I ugly?" No, he's gonna say, "Oh, dude, you're a handsome kid. You're gonna slay it." No, but because let me think about this: failed marriage. I've been fired so many times from other radio stations. I don't have my own house. Basically don't have anything to my name, really. I don't know. I would to the point it would just say, man, he's a real screw up. He's a failure. But I don't think that. But that's the type of stuff that gets into my head when it comes to this. Yeah, I know Fish on Jay. I know that, but you know, you start thinking about stuff like that. And it just got me in a bad mood. It got me in a bad place. And, like, it started Monday. And it ran into today, too, because I didn't get a lot of sleep. Did not get a lot of sleep. I have an interview coming up that I already recorded from earlier. I had this guy on because I wanted to talk to him about this. Dr. David Bittenhausen and his partner, Carla, they believe in like past lives, meditation. And the interview went quite well because we talked about some of his past lives. We talked about this story as well, too. And I'm going to play that here probably about 30 minutes, 45 minutes in. I think it's a very interesting interview. But I don't know. I'll let you guys be the judge. If you could tell me, did it suck? I really would like to know because I do like feedback. I found this very, very interesting. And we all knew this was going to happen. Didn't we? The metaverse. Because everything's pretty real in the metaverse. Not real, but what I'm trying to say, though, is that they've got meta virtual strip clubs that you can go in. And guess what? The minimum age to get onto this is 13 years old. This is a big-ass company. And also, I just played that video this week of that guy that got caught trying to meet an underage kid. Maybe he was the one that headed up this metaverse strip club. Because now some of these young kids are getting assaulted virtually in the meta strip clubs.
She's 25, a BBC journalist. But in virtual reality, she's pretending to be a child.
Go on in.
Into VR chat, one of the most popular apps.
Oh, come on. Limits. They got copywritten music in the background. Come on, BBC.
But there's pole dancing and strip clubs, too.
Oh, hello, miss. We can hang out, watch a movie or something.
Isn't it school time right now?
Oh, that...
There are two people to the side of me now who are...
Did that guy just say... What up, Burton's Law? Burton's Law? That guy just really say, isn't it a school night? Come on!
Trying to get on top of each other. Okay, so there's like a group of people that are like simulating sex. I want to say there's like five of them.
And all right, but once again, this is where technology is getting ahead of some of the laws we have out there. If you're in a virtual world, wouldn't you expect that, isn't it Facebook's job? Like, you can't even like check IDs there because they could lie. 13? Nuh-uh. No, if you want to get into the meta virtual strip clubs, 18 and over, and you got to be able to prove it. Because now some guy's probably going to get caught up, or are these people, they know. Wait, somebody said. I can't send codes and stuff while I'm on the air. Hopefully that's Vulture. Jesus Christ. It's a virtual strip club, and they're not checking IDs. But, I mean, they got stuff all over the place when it comes to the meta. You can get jobs. You can buy real estate. That's going to be the next big thing. Real estate agents in the metaverse.
No, definitely children, I'm pretty sure, because of how they sound.
By the way, Fish on Jay, thank you, man. Thank you for checking it out. I saw you throw another show some, you know, I'm not going to beg my friend. I think you gave like 1,000 bits to somebody today.
There's avatars, right? And these avatars can go naked.
Wait, are they blurring out like avatars getting sexy, having sexy time with each other? BBC blurred it out.
And then Jess is assaulted.
Oh my god.
What was that like?
Horrible. It was strange. It felt like it was happening to me.
Okay. Is it? Well, take that back. I'm not going to comment on like what women go through being raped, but isn't it offensive for her to say that? Like to the women that have actually been raped? I'm confused.
Stop it. Leave me alone. It's like the Wild West.
The Wild West. I love how she said, I got to tell you, you know, for a little bit of a thicker girl, she is over 18. And then they say she's 25. BBC reporter, man, how'd she get that gig? But yeah, look at her.
I wouldn't feel safe as a sibling.
And why are you doing the profile shot? Oh, she's got a little bit of a goozle there, but not bad. Like I said, she's attractive.
Of younger children, having my siblings play on this. And if I was a parent, I wouldn't let my children in that kind of area. It's too adult.
I wonder where the accent, because Burton's low. Yeah, I'll put it up there. See, because I can highlight comments now. If you guys would like to comment on this, you can call in and take phone calls right now. 407, well, I don't even know. You can see it at the bottom there. 407-270-3044.
We showed what Jess had found to Andy Burrows at the NSPCC, and he's horrified.
It's just the most shocking
NSPCC.
Breach of any responsibility.
I am angry
because Facebook promised us Disney levels of safety. This isn't a theme park. This is a set of virtual worlds where children are at risk of grooming, of sexual abuse, of really
hard... Now that is a big problem, the grooming, because good, you could groom a 13-year-old in the virtual strip club. Yes, play some Minecraft. Jesus, go mine for some diamonds, some copper, make you some armor. Build yourself a house. Minecraft to help me stop drinking. Minecraft could stop pedophilia.
Harmful experiences. It speaks to a corporate neglect. These are sites that are dangerous by design.
Today, we're going to talk about...
Speaking of some... This guy right here, if he wasn't a billionaire, you would definitely want to check his hard drive. Look, I'm sure people say the same thing about me, but geez, man. I guess a billionaire will buy you happiness. Money will buy you happiness. Who says this guy is even happy? This guy's trying to take over the world. Him and Elon.
About the metaverse.
Mark Zuckerberg thinks the metaverse is the future of the internet, even rebranding Facebook as Meta.
Also, the avatars look too cartoonish. You would think a billion-dollar company could do better virtual graphics.
Billions of dollars on the Quest headset, which dominates the market. You need a Facebook account to join in. There are games and apps made by Meta and by other companies, too.
All right, here we go. I was reading a story that the U.S. government, they did a report that the soldiers, the Nintendo generation, Gen Z, they're spending so much time on gaming, staying inside, not going out and playing or playing athletics, that they're getting a weaker bone structure. And they're noticing in the military, most of these people in that generation are getting hurt easier because they're not moving. We're regressing physically. And we are. We're going to be a bunch of fat people in gaming seats in the Matrix. That's exactly what's going to end up happening.
The so-called metaverse doesn't actually exist yet. That's just the name given to a series of games and virtual reality experiences you get to using a headset like this one. Choose what you want to look like, your avatar, and you can start exploring. The question is, how safe is this world for children? Hi, Catherine Allen studied...
Well, number one, I'm going to sound old when I say this, but where are the parents? Nobody takes responsibility for this stuff. And, you know, like, you should be checking this kind of stuff. Are any of you guys parents, you guys check your kids' phones? I didn't have a cell phone until I was over 18, so it really didn't matter. But now, like, kids are getting cell phones, like, younger and younger. I do think that boys should be able to get a cell phone earlier than girls. Because, I'll take that back. I mean, you gotta play right down the line. But, yeah, I mean, you should be checking them. But what at what age did you guys give your kids a phone, a smartphone? You know, I don't even know if they make flip phones anymore. But give your kid a flip phone, man. My first cell phone. Well, they didn't even have smartphones yet. But yeah, get your kid, like, go to myeasywireless.com. Get a cell phone there. Get it for your kid. Check it out. Myeasywireless.com, the new sponsor of the Tuttle Daily Podcast Studio. But yeah, the parents need to start checking some stuff. About 11. I wish I could put that one up there, but I can't put that up there because I read it as the F word. I actually read it out there, so I could put that up there. Anyways, this is just, it's going to lead to a lot of problems.
These VR. I met her in her virtual office while sitting beside her in the real world.
Not everything's perfect in this space, is it?
No, thank it's you, Dan, a Gary. Bit of a wild west, to be honest.
Simulated sex is something that you see quite commonly.
Is it me that I find the British accent, like, very, very attractive? And when they talk dirty, too, man. Did you guys ever watch that movie, The Gentleman? With Matthew McConaughey selling, slinging weed. His chick, hot, had a Cockney type accent, and she was cursing up a storm. She would say the see you next Tuesday word like nonstop through the movie. There's just something attractive about it.
If we don't get on top of it, if it's not regulated and legislated, if the public aren't aware of what's really happening, children going to these spaces unsupervised, then we could see really a hotbed for potential grooming,
pedophiles.
And also experiences that children are having that...
In virtual reality...
Oh, she's damn it. I already messed up.
...spaces unsupervised, then we could see... A hotbed for potential grooming, predators. And also experiences that children are having that may well be too early for them in their development.
Predators are just having a free-for-all with these kids.
What is this informant here part of Daft Punk? I know they split up, but... And you want to hide your identity? This guy's probably undercover pedophile as well, too. I'm saying it because this is a BBC story like that. The Brits say... We say pedophile here. They say pedophile.
This man has been investigating VR chat rooms for months. He's worried for his safety and wants to remain anonymous. He's made a YouTube film and even met and interviewed a 14-year-old who says he was groomed and raped in virtual reality.
Did they try to do things to you? Yes.
You'll see 40-year-old men hanging out with 12-year-old boys and girls. It's
Burns Law. I mean, I'm down to do some stuff. I'm down to do some exclusive content for Bubba Arbeen Radio. Do a podcast. Wants me to do an ancillary show. I'll do it. If you're in the chat room tomorrow, bring it up to him, Burton.
Like a nightclub, but if you are running a nightclub and you can't afford a bouncer, so you just leave the doors open, well, you're going to get shut down because, yeah, I get it. It may be expensive to hire a bouncer, but you got to do it. You have to do it.
And you can get jobs in the metaverse, people. Like, who wants to get a job? You've worked all day long. Who wants to work a job online? But people get paid for it. You can get paid to be a bouncer in the metaverse.
Because the alternative is to let kids just wander in and get destroyed.
VR Chat says it is working hard to make itself a safe and welcoming place.
When it comes to stuff like this, it's not we are working hard. We are getting it handled.
For everyone, predatory and toxic behavior has no place on the platform. Meta stresses it's not responsible for other companies' apps and says... We provide tools that allow players to report and block users. We will continue to make improvements as we learn more about how people interact in these spaces.
Ah, man. Yeah, Vulture, I'm not seeing any of the comments from Facebook.com/Tuttle. The One Movement, and I'm not seeing people's comments from Twitter as well either. I don't know. Vulture's probably not even watching right now. I knew he was going to be kind of busy. I got to get that fixed so I can see everybody's comments. I'm going to play that interview. I'm going to take a quick break. Hopefully this loads correctly. Because it's a bigger file and it locked my computer screen up earlier. And I pray to God it's not going to do that. All right, hold on. Come on. Work, please. Work, 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 work. All right. All right, so this is an interview I did with Dr. David Bittenhauser. Housen. I get that wrong every single time. But I did this earlier today, and we talk a little bit about that story. And this interview got a little weird. It's not a long interview, but I really think you guys will enjoy it. Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. On the line with me right now, well, actually video now since I got my studio set up, David Bittenhauser. Now, I forget your other half's, your partner there.
Carla,
I do apologize. How are you, Carla? I love that necklace. I love the necklace you got on there.
Baby facing.
David, tell my audience a little bit about the both of you guys before we get into the interview.
Sure. I'm a semi-retired physician. I work as vice president of medical affairs at a small hospital. We had a spiritual experience. Carla has been my office manager forever. Mm-hmm. And I just retired because I got this part-time vice president of medical affairs job. And again, we had a spiritual experience that happened 7 or 8 years ago, and we've been just trying to share our message.
David, one of the first things I wanted to get into, did you happen to see the story that recently came out about doctors actually having a brain scan 15 minutes before someone passes away?
I was wrong about this.
15 minutes after, and there's a spike in activity in the brain leading up to the moments of death. Have you read this or heard anything about this story?
No, this is a great thing. I want to know the study because I'm going to go out and look for it now.
What they did was they had somebody that was terminally ill, and he agreed for his brain to be scanned right before the moments of his death. And they saw a lot of electrical activity in a certain part of the brain where it comes to dreamlike states. That activity is activated in the brain. Does that sound out of the norm to you, or is that something that you could see that's happening?
That does not sound out of the norm at all. Certainly at the time of death, there's significant chemical releases that occur. So it would not be strange for that activity to occur. The other thing that you just said that's really interesting is our experiences occurred while we were meditating. A lot of people have experiences during past life regression, hypnosis. People always have experiences like this between the time between wake and sleep. All of those times, there's an increase in alpha and theta waves in the brain. And alpha and theta waves are all associated with memory. And so if they can find chemical activity related to dream states, hypnotic states, meditative states that occurred during that time of death, that explains a lot of people's experience related to those things and how they bring up past life memories, potentially connect to the spiritual world. Near-death experiences, all of those can be related. Now, you could call them a DMT-type response.
Yeah, I want to try that. I hear some good things there.
Yeah, which would be, whether you want to call that moment increased brain activity that makes this a spontaneous thing that happens, or is this part of the literal dying process and freeing the consciousness from the brain?
Yeah, it's like they're theorizing that, you know, it's good memories. You know, you're seeing some of the highlight reels of your life before, you know, you finally, your body just isn't working anymore, I guess.
How much activity did they see after the person died?
Well, see, that's the thing about it. I mean, they don't have, I mean, I guess this guy's a good baseline now for the study. I mean, we got to see what happens when it comes to other people, I think. But I think they said it was like 5 minutes, 5-6 minutes after death.
There was still activity, which would make sense based on oxygen depletion and those kind of things. You know, as physicians, we say your success of recovering somebody 6 minutes after their heart stops, after it gets past the 6 minute mark, it starts to be significantly diminished, the chance of returning someone. Mm-hmm. However, we do have near death experience people who have
fallen in ice lakes. You know, I've seen that before. You know, people, that's why everybody takes cold showers and ice baths now, because they say that it actually lowers your heart rate and blood pressure as well too.
Correct. And so, but we have people who have been having CPR for an hour that recover, or people who have had a significant bleed and their heart stop and they replaced their bloods and fluids and recovered them, and they've been without blood and oxygen to their brain for a long period of time. Now, of course, CPR is applying some oxygen to the brain. So
How does that work though? Like, if you're blowing carbon dioxide out of your, how does CPR even work? Like, you're not blowing oxygen into their mouth though, are you?
Okay, so yes, you are. So when you breathe in during CPR, you breathe in at 21% oxygen that's in the air. You're still breathing about 15% oxygen back out.
Hey, so I wanted to ask Carla about this. The past life, because you guys met in a past life, you say. And what kind of person was David in the past life? I mean, is anywhere near the person that he is today? Or, like, was he a different person?
No, our personalities stay very similar. Our choices are different, mm-hmm. but our personalities are similar. Dave's kind of a cross between Fred Flintstone and Yogi Bear, but he's very pure at heart, and that's the way that I have known him in all 29 of our lives.
Wow, wait. So you guys have known each other more than one life?
29 lives. 29 times.
Man, that's a lot, man. You can't get away with anything, can you, David? Because she knows you 29 times over.
I've been his mother.
I've
been his mother, his sister, his neighbor, his schoolmate, a love interest,
wife.
I was married to his brother. We have at least 28 documented stories of our lives. Well, and if you include this one,
it's 29.
We have the 29 lives written in all of our books in one form or the other. And then followed by what karma followed us, what we didn't get right, why we're back.
Hey, so what was the best job David ever had that you knew him? Like, is this the one? I mean, you know, he's a doctor right now.
It's a pretty good job, but yeah.
It's a pretty good job, but you know, historically, it just depends on the time period.
Yes, if you go back 6,000 years ago, we were literally hunter gatherers. If you go to I've been a stone cutter. Mm-hmm. I was a Mayan priest. I've been
human
crusader.
Sacrifices. Any human?
Yes, we did.
Whoa.
This is for me, this is the most horrific life. And so since you're asking, I'm going to just
tell
people the story.
Your audience is not aware maybe that Dave can just go into meditative state and go right back to those lives easily. So we have lots of details that we write about because we have all of these details. So they're full length stories.
And you guys have found yourself historically before, right? Like,
oh yeah,
correct.
We did corroborate the life in Chicago in 1925. We found ourselves.
Yeah.
Found me anyway.
I want to get, I want to get to the human sacrifice stuff. So you said that was
epic. It's so in the Mayan times story, which is 600 or 700 BC, we actually, there is a Mayan priest. We sacrifice to the sun god. It's a very dark life, but what happens is each year at the summer solstice, if we're at war, it's great. And I know that sounds terrible because if we're at war, we take a prisoner of war. Mm-hmm. We actually, I like to say I tried to make it a little better. There's a bark from a white tree that we give the patients or the patients that
like a sedative. A sedative,
and it makes them kind of hallucinogenic and calm. And we take them up and we strap them over a large table. We actually found pictures of this later afterwards while we were trying to investigate it as much factual things as we could. And they literally ripped out the heart and kinda drained
like
the heart.
Mel Gibson movie, like that Mel Gibson movie, Apocalypto. Did you guys ever see that one?
No, but maybe we will now.
Maybe we will now, yeah. And so they drain the heart into the stone cup that's on the stone god's mouth, and the blood just drips around and down, and the captured enemy soldier dies. Now, the part that becomes horrific is that when we're not at war, Terrell, the high priest, selects a family, and we go in, and we bring young virgin girls in from the community, and then they strap them over that. Now, they don't kill them, at least they don't try to kill them on purpose, but they strap them over. He brings these large metal or spines from an animal and shoves them into their arm and drains the blood out into a cup and pours it into the sun god. And what's horrific about that memory is one of the little girls dies in my memory, and I carry her back through the streets, and all the women walk out into the street and extend their arms, and they all have scars on their arms.
Oh man.
It's been happening for years.
In the that movie Mel Gibson directed, Apocalypto, they actually found a lot of the natives down there that still spoke some of the ancient like words and stuff, and it was all subtitled and everything, but they ran out of people and they were going to other villages, you know, not ones that they were at war with, but they actually would go and kidnap some of the people from there and bring them back to the big temple, and they would do everything you said. It's to the T.
Yep. It was a horrible memory at that time, because it was early in the process. I was horrified. I felt terrible. I thought, how could I have been such a horrible person? As we've gone through some of the lessons we've learned, we've kind of found that everybody's been saint and sinner. Everybody's been black and white, red, yeah, multiple colors.
You gotta have darkness.
Yeah. Right.
You know, we've been different races. We've been rich and poor, kings and paupers, slaves and slave owners. We fought on pagan and Christian and Jewish and Muslim in our past lives. We've been on both sides of even sometimes the same war.
Carla, what is your I'm not going to say your wars, but your least favorite of your life? So, I mean, David was able to tell me his. What is yours?
Well, I had many because, you know, if you think back through history, women have been used and abused. And there were so many times that I was sold at a very young age, either as a slave or as a
child bride.
Child
bride. Yep.
Consort, whatever the case may be. The worst one was probably I was a consort of a king in England, And I was only 11 years old because my mother dressed me up to look like I was older, and he really didn't want a consort. I was just a cover. He actually was liked little boys better than little girls.
Yeah. Okay.
And he beat on me regularly with his scepter, raped me, abused me. But actually, you know, my mother took care of him.
Oh, okay. I can definitely see that. Online with me right now is David and Carla. If people want to check out your books and stuff, find out a little bit more, how can they do that?
Easiest way to get everybody to our books is to go to our website, which is thegiftofpastlives.com. It has the links for Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, whichever is your favorite, where the books can be purchased. And there's really four books on there. The Gift of Past Lives with Mother Isabella God and Elizabeth. The second book is Hell No, Reincarnation. The third book is The Manual, which really talks about how we're helped in the next life and some of the pre-life planning. And the fourth book is actually a historic novel called Her Huba and His Rose, set at the turn of the millennium. It's during the time of Jesus, and it has a lot of really interesting twists.
How come everybody doesn't remember past lives, or you know, is it something that not everybody can do?
It probably is something everyone could do. Most people don't spend the time or start to document some of the memories they have. The other thing I'll tell you, Tuttle, is that, like, there's a lot of research done on kids who have past life memories when they're 3, 4, 5 years old. And they have found about 2,500 of them that they've been able to verify. But when they look at those kids, they don't have very many current life memories yet. And so as their life extends, when they start getting older, like at 5, 6, 7, and certainly by 8 or 9, most of them start to forget those memories. Yeah. Because they have so many current memories that they're incorporating.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. All right. So I think I asked you this last time. Is it just past lives here on Earth?
Our experiences are all lives on this Earth. Again, this is a sort of a different topic, but we can, if there is life anywhere else in the universe, it is not life like this.
Okay.
We have certain specific constants that occur here that make it impossible on other planets, because the constants change as you get farther away from our galaxy. Mm-hmm. And that constant's called the alpha constant. It's something they've done a lot of research on. So life anywhere else would not be human-like if there was another life anywhere else. And as they try to study reincarnation, what they find is that reincarnation would be more likely to be species specific in a specific receptor that allows the consciousness to attach to your species.
All right. So I got to jump in here. You guys are cracking me up with your comments. Look at that. Man, that's a round mouth. We were talking round mouths earlier. Holy crap. Look at me. But Jesus Christ, you guys are killing me. And look, I know a lot of you guys were like, oh, why didn't you go after him? Why didn't you go out? See, whenever I get a guest on, like I want to give them a shot. I do want to at least give them a chance. Tom Delaney coming in. $5 super sticker. Thank you. But what is going on with these people? and they're nice people, and I'm not going to judge people for what they think. I like interviewing people. I want to hear them out. Could I sit there and call BS on it? I could, but I think it's interesting to hear what they really think.
I know, I'm sorry if some of these questions are way out of, you know, left field, but, you know, as I talk to you, I just come up with more and more stuff. All right. So I want to get to this. Do you have a certain amount of lives? Because, you know, like, I'm a big Doctor Who fan. You only get so many regenerations. I think that I mentioned that last time. Does it ever end, or is it just always revolving?
There is certainly a way to get off the karmic wheel, as we call it. The goal and the purpose of life is to gain, first of all, shared
experience, whatever.
Experience. Mm-hmm. Because communication is all based on shared.
I think I throat burped there.
Shared experience. So the soul that's first place has no experience in.
Souls don't exist.
No way to communicate with other souls. Huh?
Got that new car smell.
Yeah, that's right. It's got the new car smell.
I got a pop from them. I got a pop. They probably would have. But you guys are cracking me up with the comments.
Doesn't know anything. You know, if all communication in the spiritual world is telepathic, all you can literally send his thoughts.
Oh, I was going to, I'm glad I did not, like, because you guys wanted me to ramp in. I know you did, but it gets a little weird here too. Listen to this.
And pictures. If you have no life, you have no thoughts and pictures to share with other souls. So you need to come here for experience.
But I got to ask. So you're talking, do you guys believe like in mentalists, like people that can mind readers, stuff like that? Or is that, you know, a bunch of mumbo jumbo in your opinion.
Well, a mind reader is you.
Somebody asked, where does Vulture? No, Vulture doesn't know this. We use, like, that's the thing about this podcast. I will talk to anybody. I've said this. I would rather talk to people like this. Like, not celebrities. Celebrities aren't going to be true and real. You think if a celebrity really believed this, that they would admit? No, they would not. Unless you're Tom Cruise.
Usually someone that's sitting and talking to either their spirit guide or passed over people, their loved ones, or people waiting to reincarnate. And they're being fed the information. My spirit guide talks to me.
I missed a good question there. Like, if I could talk to my spirit guide, I would go like Rain Man, and I'd go to Vegas. Sit there, and I would look at what cards were being dealt, at least look at what the dealer has. Yo, spirit guide, what's it got? Blackjack? What should I do here?
Differently than Dave's, he can hear his just like he hears you. Mine is more like feel, but I get information from her, and I'm not aware. But when we sit down to write, she's talking to me, and I get all of these thoughts. So a lot of times when somebody believes,
is that where they came up with the term ghostwriter?
Someone is indeed talking to them, mm-hmm. and they're just spewing what they're hearing. They just believe themselves to be.
Oh, I like this. See, I can make jokes now, like on the backside. I maybe came up with something new. Bubba's listened to himself, and he would play it back, start, stop it. Sometimes I didn't know if it was Bubba live or Bubba recorded.
More intelligent.
Yeah. So the.
Can you turn it off? Because, you know, like if I'm sitting there watching a movie, I don't want my spirit guide, you know, ruining it for me like somebody in a movie theater.
I think
they wouldn't
do that.
I got another pop.
But anyway, you're right. But they can actually block other people from trying to connect with you. And you can shut this off. And I always hate to say this because I have a friend who's a very spiritually connected, but he self-medicates a little bit with alcohol if they're trying to connect with him.
Been there.
Kind of leading him a little bit toward alcoholism because the alcohol makes him.
He was raised Baptist, and he believes that it's the demons and the devil talking to him, and he's afraid to listen to it. So he shuts it off that way. But if you want, If you don't want to be connected, you can ask your spirit guide for a gatekeeper. A gatekeeper just keeps those passed over people from reaching you.
Let me ask you, how many people do you think have been put in mental institutions because people did not question, believe?
I'll get on with it.
Them. Lots of them. Wow. And again, this is almost a different topic than the mental topic. But when we start to see patients with dementia and Alzheimer's, my spirit guide has said that what's starting to happen is they've disconnected so much from this life that it's easier to connect with the passed over souls in the next life.
That was my interview. I want to thank Dr. David Bettenhausen. I got it right there. Thank you, Fish on Jay. I was thinking about this while this was playing. Would you guys rather, because I really haven't done like a 2-hour show yet. I mean, I've done like an hour and a half, hour 45. Would you guys like be interested? Would it be better for me to start the show at 7 instead of 6? Because I have no problem with that. Or do you guys like 6 o'clock? Because I can just easily keep it there. I was just thinking that maybe I might get some new people. Maybe 7 o'clock is a better time for me to do the show. Because six, look, like Iggy said, oh, I was late from work. Even here on the East Coast, that 6 o'clock, sometimes people aren't getting home. Sometimes people, maybe David, six. Okay, well, I mean, I could easily, I maybe went smoked a little bit, burned one. Anyways, I can do it either way. It does not matter. I just was asking a question. So I might keep it at six. I got one more story that I wanted to play. This definitely is Florida. This is definitely Florida all day. It's got to be. I didn't even look. I just pulled it when I saw the title.
Which leg, right or left?
This dad shot his son because his son was throwing knives at him. That's the most Florida white trash thing that I've ever heard in my life.
On the left.
Okay. Who's the shooter?
He's sitting right there in the chair. The gun's sitting right there.
A family dispute ending with a Shawnee father apparently shooting his own son. Emergency.
Man, that... There's a lot of these Southern people that have had to shoot their sons and vice versa. A lot of Southern people have had to kill their father.
Emergency responders arrived at this home to find 44-year-old Blaine Parsons on the floor with at least one gunshot wound to the leg.
Oh, bad shot. You always go center mass.
When were you shot? Just about 5 minutes ago?
That's your shot.
No, it's got to be that tight.
Got to be that tight. Got to stop the blood.
Pottawatomie County Sheriff.
What? Pottawatomie?
Mike Booth says Parsons became upset when his mother wouldn't let him use her phone.
Holy crap. Look at... All right. This is the type of guy you would expect that you would think. He's got throwing... He's good at throwing knives. He's probably got ninja stars. Oklahoma. Okay. Makes sense. But Jesus Christ almighty.
The same phone he allegedly just threw in anger. Then matters escalated to his parents fearing for their lives.
His dad's sitting in his boxers. Beer got all out. He's in the lazy boy. He's got his feet kicked up.
Our suspect had some knives and had threatened to stab them. And it actually, there was marks on the floor where he had thrown the knives in their direction, in mom's direction, and stuck them in the floor of the house.
Parsons' father.
Who? What Southern kid? His parents. He was just throwing knives under the floor. Trust me, that house, it's not like you're going to lower the price of the house. Need to call hoarders. So what? He was throwing knives on the floor. Do it all the time. Judy Chop.
Who had a cast on his foot went to grab.
So this mean my dad did the same thing. My dad had his pistol on his little stool next to his chair. And this guy, he's got a cast, so he had to have had the gun in reach, right?
His gun, when his son wouldn't calm down and allegedly tried to attack them with more knives, police say he fired off multiple shots, Parsons ending up hospitalized for his injuries.
I feel bad. I feel bad for the dad. I feel bad for the mom. You know, what the family's had to go through. To have to protect yourself from a family member's.
You know you're a badass when you can pull off a cowboy hat as a sheriff.
Especially even your own son. That's pretty, you know, that's pretty devastating for the family as well.
Yeah, that is a bad shot. Anyways, guys, I'm going to get out of here a little bit early tonight. Been doing some extra long shows. I'll do some extra time tomorrow. Like I said, that blue alert really ruined my night of sleep. I want to thank everybody that has joined. I want to thank everybody. I saw some new people in here tonight. Please help spread the word. That's the only way it's going to grow. Word of mouth. Supporters. I want to be able to get to the point where the people that are here from the beginning are able to, in the future, be like, Tuttle sold out. F Tuttle. Tuttle's a sellout. I want to be able to get to the point. I don't need a lot of money. I can make more than I did at the BRN or Real Radio or whatever, I'll be happy. But I want to thank everybody that joined me tonight. Hope you guys stay safe. I'll talk to you tomorrow.